What is love? You can't go to the music world to find that out, as I realise. You know, the Beatles' famous song, All You Need Is Love. One of my favourites. It's not showing my age because it's way before my time. Way before Burt Bacharach. What the world needs now is love, love, love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. I'm not going to sing it. I want you to stay. So we won't do that. But, you know, I hear a lot of those songs and they don't, to me, say a lot about what love is. They talk about love, but actually had to go to a more contemporary, more modern songwriter. You may have heard of Pink. You may not have listened to her. But in her love song, written some time ago now, she says these words in her love song. I need to hear that you'd die for me. Again and again and again. That is a song about love. Because it doesn't just talk about love, it actually talks about what love is. Hearing from someone that they would die for you. Because I think she's got it right. Love is about sacrifice. And that's why God defines love not by just what he says, but by what he does. John 13 is a great example for us of God not just talking about love, but showing it. The foot washing passage in John 13 is probably one that makes many of us cringe a little bit. I don't know if you've ever washed someone's feet, especially if their feet were really, really dirty. But culturally, it's not something we possibly relate to much, except in all times of history, I think the word icky would come to mind. It's not a nice job to wash someone's feet. In Jesus' time, people walked through streets of dirt. They wore sandals. When they arrived at your house, their feet were filthy. And so it was the job of the servants of the house to wash feet. But even under the law of Rome, some servants were precluded from washing feet because it was such a dirty job. And so only the lowest of the lowest servants or slaves had to wash feet. So the fact that Jesus is washing feet, we might sit back and read this and think, well, that's nice, isn't it? We should all wash feet. No, in that time, it is the most surprising thing. Nearly as surprising as in walking on water, perhaps. For Jesus, with his disciples, to wash the feet of those he is the Lord of. And what makes it even more amazing is the situation he's in right at this time and what he's facing. Think about this for a moment. These are the last days and weeks before Jesus' arrest and crucifixion. He sits down for a meal with his disciples. And verse 1 of chapter 13 tells us that Jesus knows that it is time for him to die. He knows that his time has come. The hour has come and his life is coming to an end. And then in verse 3 we're told, in comparison to that, that Jesus knows that the Father has placed all things under his power. He is still powerful. He is still able to do all things. He knows he's going to die. He's still powerful. And in verse 11 we read that he knows he's going to be betrayed by one of his very disciples sitting at that table with him. He knows he's going to die. He knows he has all power. And he knows that one of those with him is going to betray him. Knowing all those things, in the middle of the meal, he stands up, takes off his outer clothing, wraps a towel around his waist, and washes the feet of his disciples. He chose to do the most lowly of things. When he comes to the Apostle Peter, Peter is in shock. He says, you are going to wash my feet? Jesus says, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. Jesus is not only preparing for his death, he's preparing his disciples for his death. He's preparing them for what it means, and he washes them in this lead up to his crucifixion. He washes them as a sign of what he is going to do on the cross. He washes them first of all to remind them that he is a servant. First of all, he reminds them that he is going to die a servant's death. And secondly, he does that act of washing their feet to show them that what he's going to do on the cross is wash their sin. He's going to show them, by this foot washing, he's showing them that he's going to die a servant's death, and that death is going to be one that washes them from their sin. And he says to Peter, when Peter refuses to let him wash his feet, he says, "Peter, unless I wash you, you have no part with me." And Jesus says, "Unless you are washed by me, you have no part with me." Unless we allow Jesus to serve us in this way, this is what he's saying to Peter, unless he allows Jesus to serve him in this way, he cannot be a part of Jesus. And Peter says, "Then wash my hands and my head as well." And Jesus replies, "If you've had a bath, you only need your feet washed. Your body is clean." How good would that be to know as a kid? "I had a bath this year already, Mum. I just need to wash my feet because Jesus says so." But what Jesus is talking about is our life as disciples. First of all, we need a bath. We need to be cleansed. We need Jesus to wash us. And that's what happens when we put our faith in him. For that first time, we come to put our faith and our trust in him. We become a disciple of Jesus. He washes us top to toe. He bathes us. He cleans us from all of our sin. However, every day we still sin, don't we? Christians aren't perfect. Followers of Jesus sin every day. When we become a follower of Jesus, though, he not only bathes us top to toe by his death on the cross, but he washes our feet day by day by his work on the cross. He takes away all of our sin when we come to him. But he's also saying, on that cross, what he's achieving is washing us every single day. Now, wouldn't it be nice to clean your house and never have to worry about it again? Wouldn't it be nice if it just remained clean? Sometimes it takes us hours to clean our house and it lasts 5 minutes, maybe six, maybe seven if the children aren't at home. But it keeps getting messed up. And our lives keep getting messed up. Messed up with sin when we do the wrong thing, when we do it accidentally, when we do it on purpose. When we go the way God doesn't call us to do, we fall into sin. And what Jesus is saying is that not only has he bathed you and cleansed you from all of your sin, but that day by day sin, that walk in this dirty world, he's taken away all of that sin too. That's what he's done at the cross. So whatever has come between you and God, when you come to Jesus, it's gone. And whatever comes between you and God today, and whatever will come between you and God tomorrow, Jesus has dealt with it already. What you're going to do to muck up your relationship with God tomorrow, Jesus has already dealt with on the cross. Jesus' death removes everything, once and for all, that stands between us and the Father. And then in verse 15, he says this, "I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." Now, surely he's not saying we should all go and die on a cross for each other's sins, because that's something only he could do. What does he mean by that? He set an example by washing feet. An example? What's the example? And it's the example of the two acts that he's declaring here in front of the disciples, that he is a servant and he will sacrifice. That is love. He's willing to serve and sacrifice, and he says to us, "I have set you an example that you are to follow, one of service and one of sacrifice." That's the love he shows on the cross. That's the love he's about to show his disciples, that he will serve them and sacrifice for them. Well, how do we do that in our lives as we hear this challenge from Jesus? How do we follow that example? Let me suggest two things to think about tonight. The foot washing happens in the middle of the meal. Do you ever have a meal and the phone rings? You just sit down to eat and the phone rings and you answer it or you just let it go. You know, sometimes things are inconvenient, aren't they? Jesus gets up in the middle of a meal to serve them like this. Serving people, I would hesitate to say, is never, rarely ever convenient and always involves sacrifice. To serve someone, you need to give up something of your own, whether it's your time, your gifts, whatever it is. Loving people in service and sacrifice is not convenient. It happens any time of the day, when people are in need, when people call out for help. We're called to serve. When we show love to people only when it's convenient, there is no sacrifice. I can serve you when it's helpful for me, but it's not good at the moment. There's no sacrifice in that. When people need the love of Jesus in their life, it's often inconvenient for us. The second thing is that love, this sort of love, comes high on Jesus' list of priorities. You notice that these are his last words to his disciples over these few chapters of John. And what he's saying to them here is, this is the example I'm setting for you. His last words aren't, look, make sure you read your Bible every day and know it really well. He doesn't say, make sure you get to church every week. He doesn't say any of that. He says, this is the example I'm setting for you. Not those other things aren't important, but this is the example that's high on his list as he goes to die. Service and sacrifice. He wants our lives to be marked by those moments. By those moments when we serve and when we sacrifice. When we show God's love to people. I think back over the last week or the last year. I'm guessing you'll remember the times you've served people. The times when you've gone out of your way to help someone, or to love them, or you've sacrificed something of your own for someone else. I'm guessing you remember those, and I think you remember those like I do, because they're the things in life that are important. As people who follow God, they're the things in life that bring God's love into people's lives. Love is sacrifice. It's what Jesus did on the cross. It's what he calls us to do for others. And we need to ask ourselves honestly, are there people I'm not willing to love? Is there time I'm not willing to give up for others? Are there acts of serving I'm not prepared to do? Are there things that are beneath me? Nothing was more important to Jesus than going to the cross. He got down and he washed his disciples' feet to show them that there is nothing he is not prepared to do for them. That was not easy. It cost him. And it will cost us to be servants of Jesus. It will cost us to be sacrificial. It will cost us to love people. You know, a lot of people say those words in their life, maybe not out loud. I need to know that you'll die for me. Do you know how many people want to hear that from someone? Anyone? That I'll die for you? And the way we love people with the love of God actually shows them that even though we might not be prepared to die for them because we're human and maybe we just don't want to put ourselves on the line, that we serve someone who is willing to die for them and has. Chapter 13, verse 1. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He loved them to the end. And then he says in verse 16, and what a great challenge this is for us. No servant is greater than his master. We're not greater than Jesus, are we? We could ask for a show of hands, but I don't think anyone would put them up. We are certainly not greater than our Master Jesus. And he washed feet. You know, when the world tells us to fight someone, Jesus says we are to love them. When the world says that we should take revenge, Jesus says we should sacrifice. When the world tells us that that person doesn't deserve it, you ever found yourself saying that? They don't deserve it. Jesus says, well, either do you. But he went to the cross anyway for you, because he loves you that much. You know what strikes me most about this passage as we consider all these things and how much Jesus loved and served and sacrificed is that in that very room, he washed the feet of Judas. I wonder if you would do that. Even Judas needed to hear and experience the love of God. Where is that person in your life? Where's the Judas? Are you willing to serve? Are you willing to sacrifice for them? Because that is the love God has shown us. Verse 15, I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. That example of service and sacrifice is the cross. That is the power of the cross, one that stands for service and sacrifice that this world cannot offer. We're going to sing about that great love now, that great power and the great work of God through the cross of Jesus. I'd like to invite you to stand with me as we sing. This is the power of the cross. During this song, we will take up a collection. If you'd like to give, you are very welcome to give. Some of you may be away over Easter and may not be able to, and we want to make sure you have that opportunity as well. So let's stand and sing and praise to our great God.